Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Our traditional opening music for this program, John Coltrane and Duke Ellington's Angelica, is especially appropriate for today's special program featuring jazz music. We're fortunate to have in the studio today Ken Meads, who, as we will learn, has a long and interesting association with jazz music, especially smooth jazz. Ken has agreed to talk with us about those connections and to assist with reading some of our regular sections of the program. Welcome to Music Review, Ken.
I'm glad to be here, Randy. Mm-hmm.
We start then with these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website funtrivia.com.
Okay, who wrote and performed the song Stranger on the Shore, which is still one of the best known British jazz standards? Was it A, Frank Sinatra, B, Acca Bilk, C, Vera Lynn, or D, Glenn Miller?
And question number two, jazz music dates back to late 19th, early 20th century America. One of the earliest of the jazz greats was Christian Edward Kennedy, but was known professionally by a different name. An accomplished pianist, composer, and orchestra leader, Take the A-Train was the signature tune of his jazz orchestra. So name this music legend. Was it A, Count Basie, B, Scott Joplin, C, Louis Armstrong, or D, Duke Ellington? Hint, here's a snippet from one of this composer's songs. Sound familiar? So, who is this orchestra leader? The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions today come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of May 31st.
Well, it was on this day back in 1857 that the British composer Sir Edward William Elgar was born, and his pomp and circumstance is frequently heard at this time of the year. Sir Edward Elgar, born on this day in Broadheath, UK, 1857.
And it was 102 years ago today, back in 1917, that the first jazz record, Darktown Strutter's Ball, was released, 1917. This Dixieland song was written by Shelton Brooks in 1915 and published on this very day, back 2 years later, 1917. It has since been covered by Fats Waller, Hoagie Carmichael, and Fats Domino. So welcome again, Ken Meads. He was born in London and for the last 5 years has been living in Apex, North Carolina. So Ken, tell me, what were the musical influences growing up in England?
Well, Randy, I go back a long way. I was born in 1930. Uh-huh. And so when I was about 12... Uh-huh. The war was on, and the first Americans came to the UK, and with them they brought their music. And the music, of course, was Benny Goodman and Gene Krupa and Duke Ellington and Count Basie.
Oh, yeah.
And I loved it. I lapped it up, and I've always loved it ever since. Uh-huh. And in all of its bypasses.
Yeah. So did you actually play a musical instrument yourself?
Or well,
in your family?
I took up the guitar one time, and I practiced. I had lessons for 4 years, and at the end of 4 years, I was just as bad as I was at the beginning, so I gave it up.
Okay. Well, what about your relatives? Did they play as well?
No, no. When I was very small, I used to play on the linoleum. That's about all.
Oh, yeah. or play the radio. And then you moved to the U.S. So what year did you move to the U.S.? Well, Canada, I guess, right?
Yes, I went to Canada for 6 years. Uh-huh. Then came to the States, stayed in Connecticut for a year and a half. Mm-hmm. Moved to upstate New York near Syracuse. Shoveled a lot of snow for 30 years.
Yeah.
And then came down to New Bern, where... Uh-huh. And since then, in Apex, the last 5 years.
Uh-huh. Okay, so you retired then as the vice president for a coding company, Pate Company. Tell us a little bit about that. What was that like?
Well, you've heard the old saying, it's about as dull as watching paint dry. Well, I found watching paint dry to be fascinating.
Uh-huh.
But I had one patent in all my life. And it was a coding that we did for the United States Marine Corps. And it was at the time of Desert Storm, every vehicle of the Marines army that was there was painted with my material. Mm-hmm. Because it was sand-colored, and it could not be detected by infrared.
Hmm.
And that was very successful. We got an award from the Marine Corps for that product.
I'm not surprised. Well, that's really interesting. And so why did you move to North Carolina? Why New Bern?
When you've lived in Syracuse and shoveled all that snow, you don't have to answer that question.
That's probably true of a lot of folks who have moved here since. And then from New Bern to Apex. Why Apex?
Well, that was, I have the two daughters here,
okay,
or there rather. And my wife was not doing well,
okay.
So we came to independent living in this area.
Uh-huh. I was also fascinated to learn about your Toastmasters from the mid-'80s to the late 80s. Tell us a little bit about that. What was that all about?
Well, I was a real nerd for 40 years, and then I became... inadvertently, the president of a very large and influential Rotary Club.
Uh-huh.
And I found I had a talent. I could talk to people. I could speak. And from there, I formed a Toastmasters Club. Mm-hmm. And entered the competitions. And I was fortunate enough to win the Upstate New York Cup. 4 times out of 5 entries.
Mm.
And then I went on to, in 1989, to the World Championship of Public Speaking in California.
Uh-huh.
9 finalists in the English-speaking language, and I didn't place, much to my chagrin.
Oh, by all means. So going to the finals there was really quite a compliment, and I'm not surprised either. Hearing your voice now and also on the radio program, Public Radio East. So tell us a little bit about the softer sounds of jazz that you produce from your home now, Ken.
When I came to New Bern, there was a program on WNOS AM radio called Jack's Joyous Journey into Jazz. And I listened to that, and I thought, well, I could do that, because I had quite a good collection. So I went to the management of WNOS and said, could I do one of these? And they said, give us a dummy tape and let's see. And I did that. And they said, oh, wonderful, sounds like the BBC. And so... Softer Sounds, he said, we'll call it Softer Sounds of Jazz. I didn't name it, they did.
Okay. Well, before we get into more details on that, I'd actually like to go ahead and play the intro to one of your recorded programs from January of this year. So here we go with that.
Time for 2 hours of great tunes played as good listening Softer Sounds of Jazz. I'm Ken Meads. We have tunes like My Blue Heaven, and On the Alamo, and East of the Sun, It Had to Be You. Players include Dave Brubeck and Jack Teagarden, singers Steve Terrell and Diana Krall. And we'll sprinkle in a couple of stories now and again. We'll just have a fine, if kind of quiet, evening together. Our opening track is one of the Duke's evergreens. It's I Let a Song Go Out of My Heart. And that's Carl Fontana on trombone, and he's the leader.
Wonderful sound there, Ken. By the way, you listeners at home can go to publicradioeast.org, that's one word, 89.3 FM, and be able to listen to Ken on Saturday nights. That goes from 8 to 10 p.m. on that station. But I would go to publicradioeast.org to listen to it, since the 89.3 FM may not reach our area right here. So, Ken, tell me something about your access to 17,000 titles that you have.
Oh, it's more than 17,000, but
oh my gosh, yeah.
That's enough to start with, don't you think?
And I think so. So you have quite a collection there, then, and you record at home, and you do, what, 4 29-minute segments a week?
Each week, yeah.
All right, 8 to 10 o'clock on Saturdays. And you just send them to Dropbox, then?
I put them on Dropbox as in the form of MP3.
Uh-huh.
The people at the New Bern station take it off, plug it in. It's untouched by human hand.
Okay.
And it plays automatically when the time comes up.
Okay. Now, you've somewhat also addressed the question I was about to ask about why jazz generally and why soft rock in particular, based on your experiences growing up in England. What determines your set list, though, on your program?
Well, we specialize in the Great American Songbook, a period about 1928 to 1955.
Mm-hmm.
That was a prolific period for American arts of all kinds. And, of course, jazz is the single contribution that America made to the arts was jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And they came at the confluence of jazz music being created and the Great American Songbook being created at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Was very influential in both cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one of the fascinating things about jazz music is the diffusion of the music both across time and also across space. So it's one of the questions that is sometimes asked is, what is jazz anyway, and what is its future? So I understand that Louis Armstrong once addressed the question, what is jazz, with the statement, man, if you have to ask what jazz is, you'll never know. And then J.J. Johnson, the jazz trombonist, he addressed that question of the future of jazz when he said, you know, jazz is restless. It won't stay put, and it never will. And I think that speaks a lot to the vibrancy of this particular genre and what makes it so attractive. But I'd like to say a few things then about the beginnings of jazz, you know, starting back in the early 1800s, where Africa Call and Response and dance, beat drums and spirituals and so on, African Americans were so influential that by the late 1800s, we had the migration of African Americans after the Civil War to the cities, and especially to New Orleans. And this is where we get ragtime, the syncopated, ragged rhythms, like Scott Joplin, Maple Leaf Rag, where your left hand is doing something very different from your right hand. So a lot of piano solos there. What is your familiarity with Scott Joplin and ragtime?
Well, ragtime, strictly speaking, is not jazz,
mm-hmm.
because it is written, and jazz, by definition, has to be improvised.
Mm-hmm.
It is never played the same way twice by any jazz musician worth its salt anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Then that, though, merged somewhat into Dixieland, and that with Louis Armstrong and his trumpet being used for that call and response to come up with something maybe called collective improv. And it merged ragtime and blues and marches. What is your familiarity with Dixieland then, Ken?
Dixieland was certainly a beginning.
Uh-huh.
And as it grew in New Orleans, where there was music of all kinds, but the Navy came down and closed some of the shady areas.
Yeah.
And so musicians had to find other places to play, and they spread across the country to places like Chicago and Kansas City.
Right, and eventually then to New York as
And to New York as well.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the prohibition from the 20s, the speakeasies and the reformers that were trying to close a lot of these down forced a lot of them away. Well, during the 30s and 40s, we had the swing era that kicked in with the Great American Songbook that you've referred to before. This is Ella Fitzgerald, Benny Goodman, Glenn Miller. World War II, of course, a huge influence. In fact, I'm struck by the fact that, as is true with any kind of cultural artifact, diffusion of it tends to be due to these migrations and wars and technologies that exist that tend to spread that around. So we had the radio, the phonograph, the movies, and these spread over into other areas of the world, like Paris, France, and I'm sure you're familiar with Django Reinhardt as well, the guitar player, right, and his Parisian sound there. So how would you describe that gypsy jazz? I think that's how it was referred to.
It's been said that every guitarist to this day owes something to Django Reinhardt.
Uh-huh.
He was absolutely brilliant. He was disfigured. One of his hands was badly burned,
uh-huh.
and yet he was still able to play some fantastic runs on the guitar. He always played acoustic guitar, by the way.
Mm, okay. And then there was a merging of some of the traditional jazz with classical music, even Duke Ellington, like Mood Indigo and songs like that. You start getting this uniformity in sound across all the instruments. And then in the 50s and 60s, something called bebop. I think Ellington had something to say about that too, didn't he, Ken?
Yes, he did. He didn't like it, and a lot of us, including me, I didn't like it either.
Okay.
But Ellington said, playing bebop is like playing Scrabble without any vowels. Just imagine that.
Well, a very complicated improv. Anyway, Thelonious Monk and Charlie Parker and Miles Davis, Dizzy Gillespie. Yeah, Thelonious Monk said about bebop, it wasn't developed in any deliberate way, and it was not meant to be danced to, which is fortunate because it would be very difficult.
You couldn't do it anyway. Yes. Yeah.
But it was a far shift then from the earlier swing music that we saw. This started spreading internationally then. We got into Cuba, Brazil, samba, bossa nova, tango. So what can you tell us about some of that spread as well, Ken?
What can I say? They've been hugely popular. It's American jazz, and it's gone around the world.
Uh-huh.
And wherever it's arrested, the locals have turned it into their own jazz forms.
Yeah, that's a good point. The way that, you know, it's been roughly 100 years now in existence, but the story of jazz movement, music, seems to be a story of movement, as you're pointing out, a story of migration. And I think most importantly, a story of place. And as you referred to it there, it's one, you know, it takes on the flavor of the local place as well. So it's still jazz, but it's distinct to that particular area that it's now in. I came across the quote recently that jazz is America's original art form. That is, it's the baseball of music. And that by mapping the geography of jazz, as published in a National Geographic article recently, we can see how it's not only an indicator of our culture, but rather an indicator of our history. So one of the questions I had for you, Ken, then, was not only your love of jazz and soft jazz in particular, but also your favorite songs and artists. So let me play a little bit from your favorite song and then have you tell us a little bit about it. So here it is. I'll hold on just a minute.
Fact, I draw from 17,000 plus song titles, but this one, if I was marooned on a desert island, would be my first choice.
Mm-hmm.
I must have listened to this thing scores of times, and it always moves me almost to tears. Then I have to say that a Hallmark TV commercial can do the same thing, but music is just touches me, and this particular tune is my specialty. It's my very, very favorite.
Mm-hmm. And I can see why. Beautiful, beautiful song.
This is Dave McKenna at the piano, and you know, this tune was written in 1934. And it went nowhere. It died. But come the war in 1942, somebody recognized it and what it would mean, and it's been a great favorite ever since.
I'll be seeing you. So let's close out today's program with the closing for Ken's program. Here's that recorded program from January of this year.
This may be a bit presumptuous on my part, but Softer Sounds of Jazz is closing with Chuck Redd on vibes and the tune All This and Heaven Too. Well, I'll bet they play the Great American Songbook up in heaven. I can't claim to have delivered it down here, but at least the last couple of hours have been comfortable. I'm Ken Meads, and I'll be back next Saturday at 8. With some more Softer Sounds of Jazz, I hope you'll join me. Until then, I do take care of yourselves, won't you? And I wish you all good night. And isn't this pretty? What a way to close a program.
So, how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions?
Well, the answer to the first question, who wrote and performed the song Stranger on the Shore, which is still one of the best-known British jazz standards, was A. Frank Sinatra, B. Edgar Bill, C. Vera Lynn, or D. Glenn Miller. The correct answer was B. Edgar Bill. Edgar is a colloquial Somerset dialect for mate or friend.
Hmm.
His real name is Bernard Stanley Bilk.
Mm-hmm.
His distinctive clarinet sound is great, as noted in songfacts.com. The UK Royal Army in 1958, he formed the Paramount Jazz Band. Bilk claimed that he wrote the instrumental song for his clarinet in a taxi cab. Mm-hmm. Originally named Jenny, after his daughter, the song name was changed when Bilk played it as the theme song for a new children's show, TV show, Stranger on the Shore.
Mm-hmm.
The BBC show was about a French au pair girl living in England. She was the stranger on the shore. Closing credits were over a film of her standing on the beach looking out to the sea towards France.
Mm-hmm.
6 months after this hit number one in England, it went number one in the US, where Billboard named the first song written and performed by a British artist to top the U.S. charts.
Hmm.
The closest any UK artist had come to that point was Lonnie Donegan, who hit number five in 1961 with Does Your Chewing Gum Lose Its Flavor on the Bedpost Overnight.
American songbook, yeah. And the answer to our second question, jazz music dates back to late 19th, early 20th century America. One of the earliest of the jazz greats was Christian Edward Kennedy, but was known professionally by a different name. Name this music legend, who was an accomplished pianist, composer, and orchestra leader, and I played a snippet of his signature tune, Take the A-Train, as a hint. Was that A, Count Basie, B, Scott Joplin, C, Louis Armstrong, or D, Duke Ellington? Correct answer. Answer D, Duke Ellington, born in 1899, Washington, D.C. Edward Kennedy Ellington, or Duke Ellington, as he was known professionally, was introduced to music early since both his parents played piano. He formed his orchestra in 1923, but it wasn't until he appeared at the famed Cotton Club that he became well known. Ellington often collaborated with the best musicians in the business. During the 1950s, he began scoring for movies such as Anatomy of a Murder and Paris Blues. In 1969, Ellington received the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Now, even though it's best referred to as a popular ballad from the 1940s, the song We'll Meet Again has a lot of connections to jazz performances and venues in the USA and England. Here, then, is Vera Lynn, along with some England World Cup supporters in 2010, performing that song to close out today's program. Thank you again, Ken Meads, originally from England, and now Apex, for joining us in the studio today.
My pleasure, Randy.
Let's say goodbye with a smile, dear, just for a while, dear, we must part. Don't let this parting upset you, I'll not forget you. Sweetheart,
we'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know where.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. And as we leave you, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Music Review, readily available as a podcast after the broadcast, in the TRRS website, TriangleReadingService.org. Now, if you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me, Randy Thompson. 919-832-5138. Thanks again to Ken Meads for joining us in the studio today. So long, until next time.
Away.